Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History Headlines, we discuss a couple of great Super Bowls won by the West Coast teams and the Hall of Famers from the 1953 NFL Draft, as well as some great AFC and NFC Championship games and some that weren't so great, unless you were for the team that won. Also, Hall of Fame legendary stories and birthdays coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen. It's your portal to positive football history, and we're sure glad to have you. Glad you could take some time to listen about some great gridiron history for this January 22nd. We're going to start off with your football history headlines in January 22nd, 1953. And it was during the 1953 NFL Draft that the San Francisco 49ers on this date chose end Harry Babcock from the University of Georgia. According to the ProFootballReference.com, the Pro Football Hall of Fame players that entered the league through this draft were Cleveland's pick of Dud Atkins, the defensive end at number 11, Arizona State's fullback John Henry Johnson to Pittsburgh, and the 18th overall pick and the 49ers striking gold with Bob St. Clair in the second round. The Bears had a late steal in the fifth round when they grabbed guard Stan Jones, as well as the Packers' seventh-round choice of center Jim Ringo. Rounding out the future Hall of Famers from the 1953 draft were Joe Schmidt, the linebacker for the Lions, and the Giants' pickup tackle Rosie Brown. Another player in this draft made the Hall of Fame as a coach, and that would be Chuck Dole, who would be the Browns' draft pick in the 20th round. Of course, he would go on to coach the Steelers onto four Super Bowls. January 22nd, 1967, at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, the 17th annual NFL Pro Bowl. Once again, we refer to the American Football Database, who shares that the coach of the Eastern Conference, Blanton Collier of the Cleveland Browns, used the domination of the West that year as a rallying cry for the Eastern teams as they prepared to take the field against the West, coached by Vince Lombardi of the Green Bay Packers. You see, it seemed like winning of football in the country at all levels of football was tilted to the West Coast. Western teams had won the NFL Championship, the Playoff Bowl, the college football's East-West Shrine Game, and the Rose Bowl, the article goes on to say. Whatever coach said, it must have motivated the stars of the East, and the Eastern squad doubled up the West 20-10. The offensive MVP was a familiar face in the great Gale Sayers of the Chicago Bears. And on the defensive side, the Eagles' Floyd Peters won the honor from his defensive tackle position. Now on January 22nd, 1981, O. Andrew Bum Phillips becomes the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. Coach Phillips had six pretty successful years with the Houston Oilers, but could never win that big game when his squad went to contend with the division rival, powerful Pittsburgh Steelers dynasty of the 1970s. At Houston, Bum had a record of 55-35, according to their Pro Football Reference, and in his five seasons with the Saints franchise, his teams went 27-42. January 22nd, 1983, at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C., it was the Washington Redskins defeating the Dallas Cowboys 31-17 in the NFC Championship game to move on to play in Super Bowl number 17 against the Dolphins, per the Pro Football Reference website. January 22nd, 1984, at Tampa Stadium in Tampa, Florida, the Los Angeles Raiders and the Washington Redskins tangled in Super Bowl 18. A Raiders.com website article gives us the scoop on the game. The Raiders that season had some star players like Lyle Alzado, Marcus Allen, and quarterback Jim Plunkett. Allen had one of the greatest Super Bowl runs ever when he took a Plunkett handoff on a rushing play designed to go off tackle to the left side. But when Washington plugged all the rushing lanes, Marcus cut back on a dime and reversed the field till he found a hole in the middle of the field. And then he dashed through it to scamper 74 yards for a touchdown with grace and ease. We have a YouTube video of the play on the Pigskin Dispatch website for the January 22nd post that we have here. Follow the link in your show notes. It'll take you right to it. The LA Raiders beat Washington that day in the Super Bowl 38-9. The game's MVP was deservedly Marcus Allen, the running back of Los Angeles. January 22nd, 1989 at Joe Robey Stadium in Miami. It was Super Bowl 23, and it saw the 49ersWebZone.com. That website had Bill Walsh's San Francisco 49ers playing against the Cincinnati Bengals and their head coach, Sam Weich. Joe Montana huddled the 49ers near their own 8-yard line with a tad over 3 minutes left in the game, and they were down by three. The Niners did the improbable after barely moving the ball all game, traveled all 92 yards to pay dirt with just 34 seconds remaining. But that's when Montana found Mike Kofor in the end zone to the go-ahead score. The defense did the rest as the San Francisco 49ers defeated the Cincinnati Bengals once again 20-16. And the game's MVP was Jerry Rice, who caught 11 balls for 215 yards and a score. After winning his third Super Bowl as head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, Bill Walsh retired from coaching. January 22, 2006 at Mile High Stadium in Denver. It was the 2005 AFC Championship game, and it featured the Denver Broncos hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers per the ProFootballReference.com. Ben Roethlisberger threw for 275 yards and two touchdowns as the Steelers doubled up the Denver Broncos 34-17 to advance to Super Bowl 40. January 22, 2006 at the 2005 NFC Championship game played at Quest Stadium in Seattle. Sean Alexander pounded out 132 yards against the Carolina Panthers defense and scored twice to help the Seahawks crush Carolina's Super Bowl 40 aspirations 34-14 per the ProFootballReference.com. So the big matchup was set for Super Bowl 40, Seattle Seahawks and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we'll talk about that in a couple weeks on that date of anniversary of that game. January 22nd, 2012. Well, we had some more AFC and NFC championships. The AFC game took place at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough for the 2011 game. It was a classic as the Baltimore Ravens visited the Patriots and Tom Brady for the right to go to Super Bowl 46. Brady's one-yard quarterback sneak in the fourth gave New England the lead, and the defenses on both sides stonewalled any further scoring as the New England Patriots beat the Baltimore Ravens 23-20 in a thriller to advance to the Super Bowl. Now, that same day, January 22, 2012, at Candlestick Park in San Francisco, the 2011 NFC Championship was even better as it went into an extra session to determine a winner between the Giants and the 49ers. San Fran's David Akers kicked a 25-yard game-tying field goal with over 5 minutes left to send the game into overtime. In sudden death, the Giants kicker Lawrence Tynes showed off his leg when he kicked a 31-yard game winner. The final score was New York 20 and the San Francisco 49ers 17 per the ProFootballReference.com. Wow, two great games. Can you ask for anything better in the AFC and NFC championship games? You have 2 3-point games. One went to overtime. Both went right down to the wire. And what a great Super Bowl we had that year as well. January 22nd, 2017, the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. The 2016 NFC Championship game really wasn't that close as the Atlanta Falcons beat the Green Bay Packers 44-21 to send them to the Super Bowl. January 22nd, 2017, at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, once again, the Patriots hosted a game of the 2016 AFC Championship. It wasn't close on that end either, as New England Patriots breezed past the Pittsburgh Steelers 36-17. So what a difference. You know, 2012, you have those close games in the championship games to go to the Super Bowl. And the 2017, boy, they were just two stinkers to be blowouts by the Falcons and the Patriots, who had quite the Super Bowl. Once again, we will talk about that when we get to that date in history. Now let's go to some Hall of Fame birthdays for the January 22nd. In 1927, in Hope Lawn, New Jersey, Lou Kriegmer, the great William & Mary offensive lineman, was born. Kriegmer was drafted by the Detroit Lions in 1950, and he spent 10 great seasons with the team. In 1996, the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Lou Kriegmer into Canton, Ohio's museum. January 22nd, 1927, at Stevens, Arkansas, Joe the Jet Perry of Compton Junior College arrived into this world. According to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Joe put his relatively small school of Compton Junior College on the map when he registered 22 touchdowns in a single season. Pretty big numbers for that era. This really didn't attract the pro football scouts, though, and Perry ended up being found by the professional game in a very interesting tale told by the ProFootballHOF.com. Before the Jet completed his college football career, he was called by Uncle Sam to enter into military service for his country. At some point in time, after his initial training, Joe was playing football for Alameda, California Naval Training Station team when one of the players of the San Francisco 49ers of the new All-American Football Conference, AAFC, saw him in action. The Niners player reported this information to the 49ers brass, who offered Joe Perry a contract. Perry accepted their proposal in 1948 when he was complete with his obligations in the military, and in 1969, Joe Perry was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. So how about that? We have two Hall of Famers in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, both born in 1927, same day, you know, sort of a twinsies, Joe the Jet Perry and Lou Kriegmer, two great Hall of Famers born on this day. But we have more. January 22nd, 1948, Minneapolis, Minnesota. The stud linebacker from the University of Minnesota, Bob Stein, was born. The National Football Foundation selected Bob Stein to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2020. Also on this date, 1958, Charles White, the quarterback from USC, was born. Now, Charles led the nation in all-purpose yards in both 1978 and 79, as he averaged a whopping 6.2 yards per play per the National Football Foundation. Charles was as good as he won the 1979 Heisman Trophy for being the best college player that season. The National Football Foundation selected Charles White to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1996. And isn't that a great day in history? January 22nd, full of great Hall of Famers have their birthdays, both in the pro and the college ranks, and just some excellent games to get teams into the Super Bowl and some championship games, and just a lot of history going on there. We're sure glad that you joined us once again to hear this great history and enjoy and preserve the history. You know, spread the word about us and spread the stories. We want to keep preserving the football history and the sports history here on Pigskin Dispatch. You can find our website at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Our email is pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your feedback. And you can also find more sports history on the sportshistorynetwork.com and on our sister website, jerseydispatch.com, where we go through the football, baseball, basketball, and hockey history by going through the uniform numbers and the uniforms and jerseys that the players wore, preserving that history in a great way. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.